I want to talk to us tonight, though, about the idea of evangelism, because if the church doesn't get engaged in evangelism in a pretty heavy way, the church ain't going to be around too much longer. The congregation where I worship, you may not believe this, but I'm the second or third youngest person in that congregation. I mean, we have some very old people. Sister Whitty Dorsey's going to be 98, or she was 98 on June the 6th, and she's just hoping until she makes it to 100. Well, the thing is, if we only get her for two more years, we need a replacement player. And so we're engaged very heavily in our congregation in evangelism and trying to reach out to people and share the gospel of Christ. We have a concern in the fact that if we don't bring somebody to Christ, if we're not engaged in bringing somebody to Christ, we run the risk of disobeying a direct command of Jesus. Because in Matthew 28, Jesus made it really clear. Go out and make disciples, and you tell those people to go do what you tell them to do. So the key thing about it is we've got to be engaged in evangelism. We talked this morning about evangelizing atheists. But we want to move to the next step tonight and really talk about what do you do when you go to the next step. Somebody that doesn't necessarily know all about the Bible, where do you move to next? And most of us know the steps of salvation, right? We go through the Scriptures and we've been taught those things since we've been real little. But the problem is most people aren't ready to jump into the Word at that point. All right. So the number one reason for us to talk tonight is to get people prepared to go into that discussion of what God expects for salvation. The information I'm going to share with you tonight is essentially the first week of what we do in a 4-week class session when we were working with the drug rehab people, drug and alcohol rehab. The problem that we have in drug and alcohol rehab is that we've got people with a real interest in learning, trying to make their life better. That's a good thing. But the disadvantage is due to the rules and restrictions of the rehab center where we were working, you only get 4 Wednesday nights to do that, and you get 1 hour per Wednesday night. So the most time we get with those folks is 4 hours. And that's real hard a lot of times to get through the whole gospel plan. So the question then of what we do in terms of talking to folks is, if you only get to talk to a person for 1 week, because a lot of people were only there for a week or 2 weeks, they had to leave after that point. If you only have such a narrow point in time of talking to people, what do you give them? And that's what I want to share with you tonight. Because the thing that you want to give somebody when it comes to the Scriptures is you want to give them the starting path and the starting point that's going to help them get to the next start, to the next point. And you want them to be able, in essence, to try to do that on their own if they can. The Scripture that our brother read, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, is really the starting point. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And there's only going to be 4 Scriptures tonight, so I don't want you to get too uneasy. You know, we're not going to cover the whole Bible. We got 4 Scriptures, scriptural areas that we really want to talk about. But Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who in sundry times and in different manners in the past has spoken to us by the fathers and the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by Jesus, His Son. And it continues on there to explain about Jesus. But the key thing that I want folks to understand and see when we begin a Bible study is the words, God has spoken. All right? I want folks to see and understand before we even begin a Bible study that God has spoken. And when we talk about speaking, speaking is communication. Speaking is where God is moving information from His mind and moving information from the way He sees the world to try to put that same information into our mind. If the information that God is speaking doesn't get into our mind, communication doesn't happen. We're not on the same wavelength. But God, I believe, is smart enough to know how to use the words that we need to hear to know what we need to do. And basically, when I begin a Bible study with folks this way, what I'm really trying to do is to get them to have the idea that God has spoken, and He's spoken in terms that are communicated. They are communication, and as a result, He expects us to understand them. The Bible is not a mystery. It's not scriptures or words to this point that you can't get a grasp on. God is speaking with words that you can understand. So point number one, God has spoken. Speaking is a communication, and communication is meant to be understood. So I want them to know right offhand, this book right here is a message from God. And that's what we should view it as, a message from God. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is our second set of scriptures this evening. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4. Brother, would you like to read those for us?
Sure. You must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that you do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was blinding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testifies to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will.
Thank you, brother. Now, in chapter 2, there's an interim period of verses, and I want to be sure that folks understand what those interim verses are between we left off in chapter 1 and where we're at in chapter 2. Basically, in the rest of chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews is making this point. Jesus is better than the angels. All right, and he uses a lot of words to explain that and to make that statement. Jesus is better than the angels. God's spoken through Jesus. Jesus is better than the angels. Chapter 2 and verse 1, for this reason. The key thing is to get folks to understand what is the reason for listening to Jesus. The reason for listening to Jesus is He's the spokesman of God and He's better than the angels. So I want them to see that. I want them to see that Jesus is where they need to have their focus and where they need to have their eyesight. Because there's a problem in that verse 1 tells us about that's going to happen if we don't keep our mind on Jesus. And that problem is we're going to drift. We're going to drift away. You know, I don't know how many of you guys, I'm assuming most everybody in here drives except maybe the littlest ones. But when you're driving, you know, in East Texas, where I'm from, you're driving and there's things over to the side of the road like cows and hay fields and stuff like that. And you look over and say, that is the goofiest looking cow I've ever seen. What's the next thing I hear? Rumble, rumble, rumble. I'm on the rumble strips, okay, on the road. The problem is with us, and this is a fact of our lives tend to go in the direction that we're looking. Okay, when we're driving a car, if we're looking in the field, that's where the car is going to go. All right, so I want folks to see and understand the direction of our lives, the way we live our lives is based on who we're looking at. And the answer that the Bible tells us is we must pay closer attention to the things that Jesus said lest we drift away. Because drifting is the natural consequence of not keeping your eye on Jesus. If you don't keep your eye on Jesus, you're going to drift. All right? Now, the writer here continues on. He says, look, the angel spoke and things came to be just like they said it was going to happen. What do you think is going to happen if Jesus says something and you don't follow what He says? You know, it's the same problem, right? So there's a real importance for us listening to Jesus and doing what He says. Now we come down to verse 3, and the writer here says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What we need to understand and what we need to see here and explain to folks is losing your soul isn't a matter of rebelling against God. You can lose your soul by rebelling against God, but that's not how much it takes. All it takes to lose your soul is to neglect this right here. That's all it takes. Don't read it. If you don't want to go to heaven, don't read the book. And so the thing that we're trying to emphasize to people is you need to read this book. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You need to find out what Jesus is telling you. Because simply neglecting it is going to cause you to be punished forever. And the reason it's so important that you not neglect it is in verses 3 and 4. It was first preached through the Lord. It was confirmed to us by eyewitnesses, those who heard. And fourth, God also bearing witness both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and gift of the Holy Spirit. the thing about it, we all know what this thing is called the good housekeeping seal of approval, right? Y'all heard of one of those? You know, and usually what that good housekeeping seal of approval means is this is good and wholesome for your family, and it will make your house smell sweet and your husband, and he will be happy. All right? And so that seal communicates a lot. The thing with the Scripture is, when we see here and communicating with people and trying to get them to see, God has put the divine seal on this book. He has said, this stuff is from me. I want you listening to it. And He did that through signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what He's done is He's put the divine seal of approval on this book saying, you can know it's from me because things have been done that can't be done otherwise. I've been able to show you that I'm stronger and in control of nature. So the thing that I really try to emphasize in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 is this idea we've got to be listening to God, and the pitfalls of not listening to God is being negligent and also keeping our eyes on Jesus. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to go off track. You know, one of the things that I mentioned to folks and try to get them to see, we in the church are people, right? And have, I'm assuming that everybody here has had hurt feelings due to other church members at some time before. All right? I'm just going to make that assumption. It's happened with me. All right? I'm just a regular guy. That's why my name's Joe, right? I'm a regular Joe. So the thing about it is, we've all had hurt feelings at times. But the thing is, when we let the hurt feelings get in our vision, guess where we're not looking? We're not looking at Jesus. All right? So if you got hurt feelings about something that's happened in church, you need to look at where you're at because your vision is not on Jesus. Jesus had every reason to have hurt feelings, but He came and He died for us on Calvary's cross. Now, the thing about it is, I want folks to understand God's spoken. I want them to understand how serious it is that they listen to what God says. I also want to go to next verses, number three verses, is Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And brother, would you mind reading those for us?
But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let it be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned.
Okay, so Paul's warning the Galatian brethren and trying to get them to see that even though you have the right attitude and you want to come into to find out what God wants you to do through the Bible, you have to exercise a caution. There's going to be a lot of people out there that tell you wrong stuff. All right, and so what we have to do is be careful that we're not misled with wrong stuff. Now, there's three different aspects or three different entities that can bring wrong information in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. There's three entities that are called out here. You notice in verse 8, but even though we, all right, the first entity is we. It's Paul and his cohort, the folks that were running around with him. If Paul changed the message from what he had already told them, what he said is that was bad enough for him to be eternally condemned. Let him be eternally condemned. That tells me, number one, that what Paul had already told him had been approved by God. And that Paul was being very careful to let them know not even he could change what they had already been told. And because otherwise that would not be the gospel. So he said, if we tell you something and you have a lot of confidence in we, because you've heard me before, if I tell you something different, I'm going to be a curse. Number two, the second entity in verse 8 is an angel from heaven. If you think you saw an angel, if you think you had a vision, if you think that for in some way God spoke to you directly, and it's different than what's in this book, Paul says that person's going to be eternally accursed. Now that presents a real problem for some of the Latter-day Revelation folks, right? If it's different than what God presented, then they're going to be eternally accursed. So even if it's an angel from heaven, you see how important this is? It can't be changed by even an angel from heaven. And then in verse 9, the third group is in verse 9. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man... Okay, we got Paul and his cohort, number one. We got angels, number two. And now we got any other man in verse 9. All right? So if any other man comes and tells you something different than what's in here, you're going to be accursed. You got to be careful of it. Now, when we got men, angels, and every other man, who's that leave? Nobody. That kind of covers all the bases. All right, so the key thing about it is we've got to go with the Scriptures and we have to be very careful on what we hear and who we hear it from, because we want to find out what's in here. We want to find out what God has to say. So Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 is our third stop. The last verses are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Really, the thought kind of begins in chapter 3. Brother, would you read for us 3:14 through 4:4?
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths.
Okay, so in these Scriptures, Paul really explains what the value of the Scriptures are in chapter 3. And he goes into chapter 4 and he explains to Timothy, he said, look, preach good stories with a lot of humor, because good stories with a lot of humor is going to lead people to Christ. Is that what he said? No, not there. What he says in verse 2 is, preach the word. Okay, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so the thing about it is, when we're looking for guidance and we're looking for somebody to explain to us what's in this book, they need to be telling us what's in this book. Okay? You're looking for somebody to help you read the Bible. You're looking for somebody to help you study the Bible that is going to help you see what's in the book. Okay? And that's where we kind of take them there. But there's a danger. The reason you want to stick with the Word, the reason you want to stick with the book, is because we have personally a tendency that's identified in verses 3 and 4. And in verses 3 and 4 it says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And we have a word for that. You know, all those words that Paul used to talk to Timothy, we have a single word for it, or maybe two words, I guess it is. And that is selective hearing. What we have a tendency when we're studying the Bible to hear what we want to hear, and to block out the things that we don't want to hear. That's a danger that Paul says people have, is selective hearing. And that to overcome selective hearing, we've got to stay in the Word. We've got to stay in the Bible. Because there's a danger with selective hearing. And the danger in selective hearing is in verse 4. They'll turn away their ears from the truth, but the substitute for truth is a myth or a fairy tale or something that's not right and something that's not true. So what we need to remember is when we come to the Bible and we study the Scriptures and we're listening to what it says, we have got to keep our minds open, not to hear what we think we've already known. What we've got to hear is what God is saying through the Scriptures. All right? you know, once we get to this point where we've talked about God has spoken, God's communicated to us, it's important that we listen to Jesus if we're going to keep our life on track. We really can't neglect what is in this book, because by neglecting it, we're imperiling our own soul. We really can't be indiscriminate and just listen to anybody, because there's going to be some people cursed because of what they're saying that's not true. And we need to be real cautious about us, because we want to hear what we want to hear instead of hearing what God has to say. And usually by the time, if that's the only week that I've got in terms of talking to people about the gospel, and I only get that 1 hour, that I think is enough that if somebody is a seeker after God, you remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that God, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All right? If I can get through these scriptures that idea and get them prepared and get the ground plowed to say, now when you go into the Bible, you realize what you're dealing with. You're dealing with God's message. You're dealing with something that is eternally important to your soul. And the thing about it is, because God's spoken, He expects for you to listen. At that point, I've got the stage set that then I can begin talking about the other aspects of the Bible and God's plan of salvation for mankind. I hope this is helpful to you tonight. I will mention that I went through this plus the gospel plan of salvation in a vacation Bible school. It was impromptu. We had some things for the children. And some adults showed up and said, well, are we going to have a class? And you know what our answer is? Of course we're going to have a class. And so we had them sit in the class. And for about a 2-hour period while the children were in Bible class, we went through these verses plus the verses in about salvation. It turns out in the process of doing that I had known earlier that there was a man in the group that they had kind of hinted to me that he was pretty close to being ready to make a commitment to Jesus. And you know, if you ever hear somebody say, I think this guy's interested in Jesus, that's, to a preacher, that's like saying sick him to a dog, you know, okay? Because you're sitting there working and you're trying your very best to be convincing and persuasive and to try to get them to obey the gospel for their own sake and for the glory of the Lord. And it turns out at the end of that, you know, I kind of asked, did anybody have any questions? Did anybody feel like they needed to do anything? And the fellow that I was talking to just sat there. But there was another fellow sitting over to my side who said, you mean that all it takes is this? Now, I thought this fellow here was a member of the church already. I didn't know any different. And it turns out that he said, you mean this is just what the gospel is all about, and I could do that today? So that's what it is. He said, today, right now, I could do that today. So you bet. You want to do that today? Well, yeah. And so the thing I want to point out by that story, we baptized him, and it turns out the other fellow named Bill, who was a husband of one of the sojourners, we baptized him the next Tuesday. And so, you know, people take time to process the information that we present to them. But the thing about it is, when we get people in contact with God through the Word, God's Word is going to work. It isn't the things that we do. It's the power of the gospel that's going to save them. Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so tonight, if you're convinced, if maybe you haven't been a child of God, I don't know the folks here, but if you've not been a child of God and realize at this point that everything that you've heard in class and in Bible school, that God has spoken and that He's serious about His Word and that your life is off track because you hadn't been focusing on Jesus, we want to take this opportunity tonight to give you the chance to make it right with God. You know, we're not asking anybody to respond to us. All right? It's not us that this is all about. This is all about Jesus, and this is all about God. If you need to respond to God's call to you to be His child tonight, we hope you do that now as we stand and as we sing. God.